an exile in Babylon for several years, has just received some news. What was the news that Ezekiel had just received? I'm sure you all do remember. We're told in chapter 33 and verse 21 what the news was that came to Ezekiel and the others who were with him in Babylon. Yes, Meg. Jerusalem had fallen. In the 12th year of our exile, in the 10th month, on the 5th day of the month, a fugitive from Jerusalem came to me and said, "The city has been struck down." Ezekiel knew it was going to happen. He had been warning the Israelites for years that God was going to destroy the wicked city of Jerusalem. He was going to hand it over to the Babylonians. There would be a long siege. The people would suffer terribly during the siege. And then the Babylonians would capture the city. And they would sack it. And they would slaughter many of the inhabitants. Terrible things would happen to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all the other cities scattered through the land of Israel. And now the news has arrived. The city has been struck down. Ezekiel's warnings had come to pass. It was in the wake of that event, that news, that Ezekiel had to enter the second phase of his ministry to the Israelites. Up till now, he had been warning them of what was going to happen, the disaster that lay ahead. But from now on, he was going to be speaking to them about the future and what was to unfold following that disaster. Here in chapter 34, we have what may well have been Ezekiel's first prophecy after the fall of Jerusalem. Who's it addressed to? Yes, Vicky? Let's just start by saying that it was addressed to the shepherds of Israel. And Vicky suggests that that may include the prophets. I think you're probably right, but not just the prophets. The shepherds of Israel were those people who were supposed to care for Israel, the people who were supposed to guide the nation, who were supposed to teach the nation, who were supposed to defend the nation, who were supposed to provide for the nation in all sorts of different ways. There were people who were supposed to be like shepherds for the nation. Chief among those people, of course, was the king. In Jerusalem, you had a line of kings descended from David, and each king in turn was supposed to be the shepherd of Israel. David himself had been a shepherd looking after sheep. until the Lord called him to shepherd people. And then he became the shepherd of Israel. And each of the kings in turn who were descended from David were supposed to be shepherds over Israel. But not just the king. There were other members of the royal family. There were the princes. And there were the nobility who shared the king's role. They were regarded as shepherds as well. And then there were the priests, and especially the high priest. He was supposed to be a shepherd. He was supposed to be guiding and teaching and protecting the people. And then, as Vicky says, there were also people who were recognized as prophets. The trouble was that many of the prophets who were famous in Jerusalem at this time were false prophets. There were official prophets in Jerusalem. Prophets were attached to the king's court, and prophets were attached to the temple, and who were paid to do their job. Well, they were shepherds, because they had an influence on people. All of these folk had their roles as shepherds. The question was, what was going to happen to these people now? Now that the city has fallen, now that it's been struck down, what's going to be the fate of these people? Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God. They're the very first people that God wants to address in the wake of this disaster. They've got a huge responsibility for what has happened. In the verses that follow, the Lord makes a series of accusations against these people who have been shepherding Israel. The first accusation is that they have exploited the sheep. They've used the people, the Israelites, for their own benefit, without caring for them. Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones. But you don't feed the sheep. So these powerful people in Israel, these people who are responsible for caring for the nation, instead have simply been fleecing them. We still use the expression today, don't we? They've been exploiting them. They've been out to get whatever they can from them. These powerful people had been making their own lives as luxurious as possible, at the expense of the people. They were prepared to tax them and grind them into the dust. They were prepared to rob them. They simply saw them as being there so that they themselves could be enriched. That was the first accusation, that they had been exploiting the sheep. Instead of looking after the interests of the people, they'd been looking after their own interests and nobody else's. They were corrupt. And then the second accusation, they've been neglecting the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened. There were weak people, vulnerable people among the Israelites. And these powerful leaders had never done anything to help them. The sick you have not healed. There were people with all sorts of problems. And these powerful leaders had never done anything to help them in their problems. The injured you've not bound up. There were people whose lives had been wrecked in different ways. And these leaders had never done anything to try and to sort that out. The strayed you've not brought back. There were people who had wandered away from God and from God's commandments. And these leaders, who were responsible not just for the physical welfare of the nation, but the spiritual welfare of people, had never tried to bring them back and to steer them back into God's ways. The lost you've not sought. There were people who had got lost completely. Their whole lives had disintegrated. They were the outcasts of society. They were the destitute. They were the marginalized. They were the people who had lost everything. And these leaders didn't care about them. They exploited the sheep. They were making themselves rich, getting everything they could out of the situation. And they were neglecting the sheep. They were seeing the vulnerable, the lost, the straying, and they just didn't care about them. And then the third accusation was this, that they bullied the sheep with force and harshness you have ruled them. They had the political clout. They had the police force that they ran. They had the courts in their control. And they used the power they had, not to help people, but to crush people. If anybody stood in their way, they were swept aside brutally. That's the sort of leadership that Jerusalem and Israel had in those last years before the city fell. Leaders who didn't care. Leaders who exploited and neglected and bullied the sheep. And what's been the result of this? So they were scattered, says the Lord, verse 5. So the sheep were scattered. Because there was no shepherd. The fact is that among all, that there were all these shepherds, all these people holding public office, all these people who were supposed to be shepherds, and yet as God looked, he says they've got nobody. They've not had one man who's been a real shepherd for them in the corridors of power. And because there was no shepherd, because there was nobody to guide them, nobody who was really looking after their interests, they've been scattered. Why has this disaster happened? Why have the Babylonians been allowed to destroy Jerusalem? Why now are the people going to be taken off into exile, scattered to the winds? It's these shepherds who must take the primary blame for that. If they had steered the nation back into the ways of God, if they had taught these people to walk in righteousness, if they had set an example of godly living, then the nation could have been rescued. The disaster could have been averted. But no, because of their corruption and their greed and their ungodliness, the nation's been ruined and the disaster has fallen, and now the people are scattered. They've become food for all the wild beasts. What do you think he means when he talks about the wild beasts here? It's a very common picture in the prophets and the Psalms. The wild beasts who prey on God's people, P-R-E-Y. The wild beasts who attack them and devour them are the other nations, the pagan nations. They've leapt in now for the kill. They're tearing Israel apart even now. Israel is scattered. Israel is exposed to the viciousness of other nations. They're wandering over all the mountains, on every high hill. Hard to imagine that there'll ever be a nation again, a gathered nation, because they've been driven in all directions. They're just wandering, lost and helpless and ruined now. And these shepherds must take the responsibility. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, and there's no one to search or seek for them. Situation's gone too far. It's reached a stage of human hopelessness. If these shepherds didn't look after the people when the people were all together in the land of Israel, how can they possibly do anything for the people now that they're scattered to the winds? You've got a picture here of sheep who are just wandering lost over a vast landscape, desperate, doomed to be eaten by wild beasts, doomed to starve, doomed to die in the wilderness into which they've been driven. And there's no one, no one who can help them, nobody who can rescue them. All the shepherds have failed. Well, this is what the Lord has to say to these failed shepherds. He's going to say three things. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Three things I'm going to do. Thus says the Lord God. One, behold, I'm against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand. He says, I'm going to call you to account. They were his sheep. That's one of the things the shepherds, so-called, had all forgotten. They had thought of themselves, they had thought of the sheep as belonging to them. The Lord says those sheep weren't yours to exploit and neglect and bully. They were my sheep. Did you notice how many times that phrase, my sheep, is used here between verses 6 and verse 10? It's used 8 times. Verse 6, my sheep were scattered. And then my sheep were scattered, he says again. And then in verse 8, my sheep have become a prey. My sheep have become food. At the end of verse 8, my shepherds have not searched for my sheep. They've not fed my sheep. Verse 10, I'm against the shepherds. I will require my sheep at their hands. And then it's used once more in verse 10. The Lord says, these were my sheep. And you've scattered them. They were my sheep, and you've driven them into the wilderness to be eaten by the wild beasts. They're my sheep, and you've ruined them. You've lost them. I'm going to require them at your hand. The day will come, the day has come, for me to call you to account. What's that going to mean? Well, it's going to mean this. This is the second thing. He says, I will put a short stop to their feeding the sheep. I'm going to take away your power to do any more harm. And you're no longer going to be recognized as shepherds for these sheep. I'm going to throw you down from the positions you've held. Maybe these powerful people thought that they would survive this disaster, that they would still carry on exercising influence somehow, even if it was in exile. It's often like that, that when there's war, it's the ordinary people who get massacred and slaughtered, while the powerful, the rich people, the leaders, are allowed to live by the conquerors. They're still kept in positions of power. Napoleon launches a decade of war across Europe. Hundreds of thousands of ordinary people die as the result of his war making. And when the war is over, what do? We exile him and allow him to carry on behaving like a king on his own little island with his own servants around him and his guard of honour. Maybe the leaders of Israel thought that they were going to be allowed to live like that. The Lord says, no. I'm calling you to account. And what that means is I'm going to sweep away your power forever. You read in Kings and Chronicles what happened to these leaders of Israel, these shepherds. The Babylonians captured the king, that was Zedekiah, and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah, and they passed sentence on him. They treated him as a common criminal. They put him on trial. And they slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes and put out the eyes of Zedekiah himself and bound him in chains and took him to Babylon. And that's where he died. This shepherd who had failed in his responsibility, the responsibility God had put upon him, was called to account. He lost everything. And then when the Babylonians break into the city, the captain of the guard took Seraiah the chief priest and Zephaniah the second priest and the three keepers of the threshold. And from the city he took the officer who had been in command of the men of war. And he took five men of the king's council who had survived and were found in the city. He took the secretary of the commander of the army. He took all the leading men. And Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took them and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. And the king of Babylon struck them down and put them to death at Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah was taken into exile out of its land. These shepherds who had been treated like little gods, these shepherds who had thought that they would always have the power to push people around, these shepherds who thought that they were immune, that they would get away with all they'd done. The Lord says, no, I'm calling you to account. And he did. The Lord says, I'm stripping you of all your power. And he did. But there was a third thing. that the Lord said he was going to do. And it's here, and it's wonderful. He says, "No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. I'm going to call the shepherds to account. I'm going to strip them of their power, and I'm going to rescue my sheep. These shepherds have done them nothing but harm, but the Lord says, I'm going to intervene, and I'm going to take charge of the situation, and I am going to rescue my sheep." What will that mean? Well, he tells us in verse 11. Gives a string of wonderful promises of what he's going to do for his sheep. "Thus says the Lord God, number one, I'll seek my sheep. I myself will search for my sheep. I'll seek them out." The living God, the God of the universe, will go searching for these lost people. And secondly, "I'll rescue them." As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I'll rescue them from all places where they've been scattered on this day of clouds and thick darkness. There's been this tremendous storm, the war, the siege, the destruction of Jerusalem. And in that storm, these sheep have been scattered to places where nobody will ever find them. Well, the Lord will find them, and the Lord will rescue them. I'll seek them, I'll rescue them. And then the third thing he'll do for them, he says, "I'll gather them. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries." They've been scattered in all directions. They've lost touch with one another. But the Lord will bring them together again. Sheep are always vulnerable when they're on their own, when they're wandering alone. They're supposed to be gathered as a flock. And so the Lord says, "I'll do it. I'll bring them together again. I'll gather them from their countries. I'll bring them back to their own land. And then the fourth thing I'll do for them, I'll feed them. I'll feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, in all the inhabited places of the country. I'll feed them with good pasture." End of verse 14. "On rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel." What the shepherds, so-called, had failed to do, the Lord himself will do now. God, the God of infinite resource, the God of infinite majesty. He's not above this task. This task of making sure that these starving, hungry sheep are fed as they need to be. And then the fifth thing he'll do for them, he'll give them rest. He says, "They shall lie down in good grazing land." Sheep that have been wandering over the mountains are allowed to lie down because they're secure, because they feel that they can rest now. And then sixthly, he says, "I'll heal them." Verse 16, "I'll seek the lost and I'll bring back the strayed and I'll bind up the injured and I'll strengthen the weak." Many of these sheep will be so damaged by the experience they've gone through. But this merciful God will examine each one individually. And he'll see what injuries it sustained. And he'll play vet to the sheep. Each one he'll bind up its wounds. Each one he'll give the exact treatment it needs to be restored to full health and strength. And then one more thing I'll do for them, says the Lord. I'll judge them. He says, I'll feed them in justice. And at this point he turns to all the Israelites. He's been speaking up till now just to the shepherds. But now he talks to the flock, verse 17. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Yes, the leaders, the shepherds, have been the chief problem. But they've not been the only problem. One of the problems within the flock of Israel was that people who weren't in office, people who had never been appointed as shepherds, people who were themselves sheep, but who were a bit stronger than others, used their strength to get their own way. Use their strength to push others out of the way. It wasn't enough for them, verse 18, to feed on the good pasture. They trod down with their feet the rest of the pasture. It wasn't enough to drink of clear water. They muddied the rest of the water with their feet. In other words, they got everything they wanted for themselves. And they made sure that nobody else got what they wanted. Well, says the Lord, verse 20, I'm not going to let that carry on. Within this flock that I gather, I'm going to make sure that there's justice. I'm going to make sure that weaker sheep aren't pushed around and bullied. Verse 21, he says to the strong sheep, the bully sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you've scattered them abroad, I'll rescue my flock. They'll no longer be a prey. I'll judge between sheep and sheep. The Lord's going to make sure that within this flock, even weak sheep can be cared for. That weak sheep aren't shouldered out of the way. I'll seek them. The Lord God himself will go out and find his lost sheep. I'll rescue them, whatever situation they're in. I'll rescue them. I'll gather them. I'll bring them together into a united flock. I'll feed them. They won't starve any longer. I'll give them rest. They'll be able to lie down in peace. I'll heal them, whatever damage they've incurred. I'll look after them, and I'll judge them. I'll make sure that they live together in harmony and without fear of one another. And then, the last and greatest promise of all, he says, I will set up over them one shepherd. My servant David. He'll give them a perfect shepherd. A true shepherd. He calls the shepherd he's going to set over them David. Because David was the first great shepherd of Israel. The king who was the model shepherd. But now they're going to have a new David, greater than David ever was, a more wonderful shepherd than ever David was, the perfect shepherd, the good shepherd, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. My servant David shall be prince among them. Within this chapter you have two great declarations. Firstly, that the Lord himself will shepherd his people. And then that his servant David will shepherd the people. It's only when you come to the New Testament that you discover that those aren't two declarations. Those are one. There came a day when Jehovah, Yahweh, the living eternal God, took human flesh, became the son of David, in order that he might shepherd his people forever. When were these promises fulfilled? Well, in one sense, all these great promises were fulfilled when the 70 years of the exile were over. After the exile, the Lord sought out his scattered people. He rescued them from Egypt and Babylon and Assyria and all the other places they'd been scattered. He gathered them. He brought them back to the land of Israel. And there he fed them with his word through men like Ezra. And he gave them rest there when they'd finished building the temple and the city. For a little while they were able to rest. And he healed them. The pains of the past could be forgotten for a while. And he judged them. They had wise governors like Nehemiah, who made sure that the needy among them were looked after. The Lord gave them justice. And the Lord gave them, again, leaders descended from David. Zerubbabel was the first Davidic prince to rule among them after the exile. Yes, in some measure, these promises were fulfilled then. But it was only very partial, wasn't it? Zerubbabel could never really be the shepherd that Israel needed. Ezra, Nehemiah could never really meet the needs of the people. What they needed was a prince over them who had all the power of the living God in his hands. What they needed was a shepherd who knew every one of them perfectly and intimately. What they needed was a Lord whose justice was infinite and whose mercy was boundless. What they needed was a shepherd who was willing to lay down his life to save them. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I'm the one that Ezekiel spoke about. I'm the prince of the house of David who has come to seek and to save what was lost." This chapter is about Jesus. When all human shepherds fail, there is one shepherd. There's one shepherd who seeks out his lost people, his elect. There's one shepherd who rescues them and brings them back from whatever pigsties, whatever wretched, horrible, fallen states they are in. There's one shepherd who gathers them into gospel churches. There's one shepherd who feeds them with his own word. There's one shepherd who gives rest to their souls. There's one shepherd who heals us, who binds up our wounds and makes us new men and women. There's one shepherd who judges between us and brings peace and justice within his churches. There's one shepherd, and his name is Jesus. I am the good shepherd. To be our shepherd, he had to lay down his life for us. In order to rescue us, he had to go into the wilderness himself. In order to bind up our wounds, he had to be wounded. In order to save us, he had to die. And he was willing to do it. What a shepherd we have, the King of love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. There are great promises here in this chapter, aren't there? The Lord Jesus speaks to us through the lips of Ezekiel, And he makes us great promises. I will search. I will rescue. I will gather. I will feed them. I'll make them lie down. I'll heal them. I'll judge them. Aren't these great promises? Can you trust the Lord Jesus to do these things for you? Can you trust him to meet all your needs? To be all that a shepherd should be? Turn these promises into prayers. If you're lost, if you're in need of rescuing, if you feel isolated and helpless, if you're feeling that your soul is starving, if you're feeling that you have no rest, if you're feeling that you're wounded, if you're feeling that other Christians are barging you about and ill-treating you, then speak to the shepherd about it, because he's promised that he'll be your shepherd if you trust him. We can take every one of these promises and speak it back to the Lord Jesus and say, you promised. And we can trust him to keep his promises. I nothing lack if I am his and he is mine forever.